Welcome to Tenacious Living Radio Show, where you can transform overwhelm with grace, gratitude, and tenacity. Featuring your host, Carrie Ann Barron, intuitive life coach, integrated energy therapy practitioner, certified peer worker, fearless life trainer, international best-selling author, and Ironman triathlete. Carrie Ann helps individuals regain control of their life by moving into a space of possibilities. Carrie Ann's guests will be sharing their own knowledge, transforming their overwhelm with tenacity and more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tenacious Living Radio Show. It is great to have you here this Monday afternoon or evening, depending on where you are. We have a wonderful guest sitting in the virtual green room, and I'm going to get to him in just 2 seconds. Today, we are going to be talking about two things, and I'm really excited to see how they're going to mesh together. One is we've got a Twitter expert, but he's also going to be talking about the five languages or the five love languages. So I'm really excited to see how this is going to support us in moving forward. I have an idea, but I'm just really super excited about it. So Tenacious Living is all about living outside the box to take care of yourself one step at a time and just practice using the principles of grace, gratitude, and tenacity. And we talk about lifting the weight of the world off your shoulders, rediscovering who you are, and awakening to the possibilities within and around you. So that is Tenacious Living in a Nutshell, which is all about awakening and opening possibilities. And today we have Mr. Gary Loper. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Carrie Ann. It's a pleasure being able to spend some time with you. And it's to be able to blend Twitter and love relationships and helping people really create that tenacity, and that's what we need to be able to live the way that we want to live.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I cannot wait to get started. But before we get started, I do need to tell people who exactly you are. Are you ready to hear me talk about you for a little bit?
Oh, okay. I have to. Go ahead.
Okay, everyone. Gary Loper is a motivational speaker, but he is also a Twitter expert, mindset coach, and he's very into the personal and business development. And he's been doing this type of work. He's been an entrepreneur for over 18 years and has over 30 years experience of superior customer service. And I can relate to that, Gary. He is a lifetime student of personal growth and motivation. He has over 160,000 connections on Twitter. He's a highly respected entrepreneur, a Twitter expert, a business life and social media coach, and Gary has been instrumental in helping others build a huge following. He is certified Go-Giver Coach by Bob Berg International. He is a certified Yes Energy Coach by Laura Langemere, the CEO of Live Out Loud. And, you know, he just has such a warm and genuine demeanor, and you're going to understand why he really brings this topic to life when we get going. So, Gary, welcome. How are you?
Excellent.
How was that?
It's beautiful.
Excellent.
Beautiful, yeah.
So, a Twitter expert, 160,000 followers. That is amazing. And I really want to get to that. But first, I want to figure out, how did you even tell us a little bit about yourself? Let's figure out more about Gary as a person rather than Gary as a speaker or a motivator. What's going on there?
Okay, well, and we have an hour show?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. All right, Reader's Digest version. I don't think there was a lot of things that sort of happened with my life and everybody else's. I know one of the biggest impetuses was 15 years after I graduated high school, I went to be able to get my marketing degree. I started figuring out what I wanted to be able to do. And so I went to a business college, got a marketing and sales degree. Within taking those classes, I took a public speaking class. So that was the first time. And that's when I saw through video for the first time, Tony Robbins and Dennis Waitley. So that was in 1989. And I was so touched by the inspiration, the motivation, the empowerment of their messages that I've dedicated every single day of my life to being able to be better and look for ways for me to be able to be better, you know, personal development, which has led into business development and a lot of other things, and where a shared interest is our energy work. So I have just been continued growing in that way since 1989. And that was probably based on a need from where my parents were and how I, you know, how I was created and how I came into this and the stuff that I needed to be able to work with and overcome.
Can you tell us about some of that stuff?
Sure. Well, I believe my mother was depressed most of her life, probably going back to the fact that when her father left her when she was a young girl. And so she chose a dating style, which wound up creating me at a high school picnic the day before school started for their senior year. And I was born on graduation day.
Wow.
So in 1955, it wasn't quite the norm for girls to be pregnant in high school. And she had already started out with a sort of, you know, with a blue cloud hanging over. And my father had probably other visions of what he wanted his life to be able to be, but he had to be able to go do the right thing. And so what took me a really long time, probably over 40 years to be able to figure out, is they were not wired to be able to love me the way that I wanted to be able to be loved. And so I thought it was all about me growing up. It's like, okay, well, they're not loving me. They're not going there. I'm not getting that feedback. I'm not getting the respect. I'm not getting the validation and the love from my parents. And it wasn't until I moved away from Wisconsin, walking the beach, and I just really realized that they never were able to do that. And probably, you know, jumping back and forth a little bit, is because of wanting that relationship. So I started watching people and how they interacted. I modeled another aunt and uncle who seemed to have a great relationship with each other, with their kids with each other. And so I just kept on looking for a better way, realizing that mine wasn't what it was supposed to be, or what it wasn't what I wanted it to be, but really learned much later on, you know, through the energy work, it's what it was, what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And how I could be able to learn how to be able to use what I felt was emotional abandonment and that lack of connection, that I could be able to use this to be able to help people build better relationships, primarily with themselves. And then when you start getting that one mastered, then your relationships with partners and families and customers and community, all of those other things can wind up becoming magic.
So how did you shift your upbringing into that positive direction? You mentioned a little bit about marketing coach and some public speaking, but how did you make that true shift?
I don't know if there was one particular thing. It just really, really, it really started evolving. I got married early, you know, when I was 19, because I wanted to be able to create something that I didn't think that I had. And so that seemed to work out okay up until some financial situations happened. And, you know, we made some decisions that were irreversible. And then the second marriage was, you know, after I went to school, and I was in a rescuer mode. So I was good. I rescued somebody, and it turned out that they were a good model of my mother, because she was just as sad as my mom was.
Rescuer mode. I've never really heard it described that way before. Can you talk a little bit about that, just to give our listeners a sense of what that looks like?
Well, for me, it was that I felt that I was learning and I was growing, and I had, you know, and I thought inside that, you know, I had figured some things out, and I didn't realize this going in. This is a reflection, but it's like, I saw somebody that was in pain or had a lot of potential, And I thought that all they needed was a little bit of help, you know, a little water, a little encouragement, that they could have been able to blossom along with me in the world that I was blossoming in.
Right.
But she didn't recognize the same thing that I recognized. And she thought that I was controlling and manipulating her and trying to be able to force her to be able to do some things that she wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. But really my intention was, okay, hey, this is great. I'm getting better. I think you can be able to be great. Let's work on some of these things and knock the edges off so we can be able to roll together.
So is that somewhat of our emotional DNA that we have this tendency to help people?
I think it is for a lot of people. And again, I have a background as a massage therapist and work with a lot of healing arts. I have 8 or 9 different master level of energy work, including shaman. And what I've seen over time is, you know, there are professions. So healing arts, probably therapists, hairdressers, bartenders. There's a lot of us who have this need to want to be able to be loved, who want to be able to contribute, to try to be able to help other people. And we wind up in occupations that we do have connections and we are able to serve people and we are able to help them feel better. And I've just seen that so many times. You know, I know, you know, that's part of the one of the draws that I learned took me into massage work and why I was good at bartending, because I could relate to people. I can talk to them. You know, coworkers would be amazed how quickly I could get into some deep level conversations with people. Just past hello.
And, you know, that is a skill. It's nothing. It's true, isn't it? So, yeah.
And I think it is because what I learned is because of my need to feel loved. And this is one of the things that I learned was my need to be able to feel loved. I realized that I had to be able to give away what I needed to be able to receive. And when I gave it first, I wound up getting it back in abundance.
I understand. So that's very impactful what you said. So I'd like you to repeat it again for our listeners so that they really understand the value of what you just said.
Well, this was probably one of the hardest lessons for me, was to be able to realize that in order to get what I wanted, I had to be able to first give it away. I had to be able to love people first. I had to be able to serve people first. I had to listen to people first. I had to validate people first before any of it would come back to me.
Right.
And I also learned that where I gave it, I didn't expect it to come back.
So giving without expectation of return.
Right. Knowing that if you're planting enough seeds, the universe is going to bring it all back to you. But if you're going to a specific person and saying, okay, well, I'm going to love you, I'm going to do this, and I'm expecting you to be able to do it back. Again, like my parents, they weren't wired to be able to do what I was expecting them to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be able to accept their limitations, love them the way that I could, whatever that means for everybody else. Is you have to love them, you have to protect yourself in whatever way that you need to be able to do. But just to be able to love and to be able to give first is vital. And it's probably one of the hardest things that you wind up having to do, because you're going to say, well, how can I give something away if I've never received it? I don't know how to do it. And you just have to do it a little bit at a time. And that's where, you know, Twitter was such a shift for me, was, you know, at 100, 140 characters at a time, you share a message and people are responding and people are resonating with that. You know, it's kind of a metaphor. It's, you do it in baby steps.
Okay. So I understand. Because, okay, let's just back up here a bit, Gary. You talked about a marketing degree. You talked about your first publishing experience. And then you kind of alluded to being a bartender or a bouncer at a bar. And then you talked a little bit about energy work. And how does that all end up making you a Twitter expert? How did you get there? How does this happen? Because that's pretty diverse. I like it. I like it. I want to know more. So how does that all get you here?
I think all of it was a hunger to be able to be better, to be able to build better relationships for myself, to be able to look at my own healing. And how Twitter got introduced with this was I was attending a number of weekend workshops for a couple of years. And then this was in, I think it was in April or June of 2008. We attended, and this was the second Extreme Business Makeover event. And that was an event that was hosted by Bob Berg and his business partner, Tom Scott. And one of the speakers there suggested that, hey, Twitter is here. It's something that you should be able to get on and be able to look at. So Twitter was like a year and a half old. So we jumped onto Twitter. It didn't make a whole lot of sense at the time. Nobody knew what they were doing. And it was just sort of, it was there, but nothing consumed any part of me. I wasn't drawn into it.
Mm-hmm.
Later that year, in November, we got news that we were kind of dreading and hoping that wasn't going to come. I was doing massage therapy for people with disabilities. So people with cerebral palsy, Tourette's, cancer, schizophrenia, a number of different things. There was a program that was funded that they were providing massage therapy, going into their homes 2 to 3 times a week and making tremendous progress, helping them make tremendous progress in their lives. I'm an internal rewards person, you could probably tell, looking for that love, that acceptance. And so I got a lot of emotional support from that, from those exchanges. I was in people's homes. I was part of their lives, part of their family. And then all of a sudden that funding was gone and all of that income and all that emotional support, gone.
It's gone.
So with my background, depression and everything else, so I got kind of locked into the couch for a while because I was lost. Like, what am I going to do? I'm, not worthy. That emotional connection was gone. And so I started looking at it and go, well, how am I going to get myself up? And then I remembered, it's okay, you've been studying motivational work. You've been looking at personal development and business development. And I had collected quotes since 1989. I had gone in, I went into a coaching program in 99, but hadn't done it because I, got turned into, went down the massage road.
Mm-hmm.
So I started sharing these motivational messages as a way to lift myself up. So it was purely selfish. It's a, I'm going to share this stuff because I know it helps me. And right away, people started retweeting the messages. They started commenting. They started questioning. And I found myself doing some coaching and doing connections on Twitter at 140 characters at a time.
Wow.
And so I got that message and said, okay, Gary, that coaching hat, it's time to take that one off the shelf and put that one on. Because this is what you're going to be able to do. And all of those other experiences, I feel, give me a unique advantage is that I can be able to relate to a lot of different people. My family experiences and that emotional stuff, the emotional unavailability, the number of jobs, number of, marriages, the two divorces that I went through, and now I'm married to Carol and we're celebrating 10 years.
Oh, congratulations. Sorry.
And all of those things. And we didn't even talk about the jobs as, managing bowling centers and driving cab, working in factories and a lot of other things. But I really think that I've been able to utilize all those things and it helps me be able to relate to people in different ways. And I can be able to see things from a lot of different perspectives instead of being able to say, okay, this is just one way to be able to go at this.
So what are some of those ways? Like, what are some, like, because it really sounds like you use Twitter to build your confidence. So how did you use all of this to become a better, like, how did you, I'm trying to find the right words to ask what I want to know. And maybe you know what I'm trying to ask. Do you know what I'm trying to, this is one of those moments in live radio where you're like, I wish I had a pause button because I'm trying to. So you went through all of these experiences, you have all of this different experience. What were some of the techniques or what were some of the ways that you actually started to apply that into Twitter?
I just saw that those motivational quotes, those inspirational messages were something that people needed. There was a great quote that I use from Zig Ziglar all the time. You know, they say that motivation doesn't last, but either it is bathing. And that's why you need to do both every day.
Right.
And so what I really saw that people were hungry for those messages. And it was a little bit of a spark, a little bit of a light in their day every single day. And this was kind of an amazing evolution because daily people would respond, hey, great message. Thanks for the reminder. This is something my grandma used to say. This is something the teacher used to say. You know, it really helped me be able to get back on track. The last time was last February of 2014, I got a tweet from a young lady. She said, you know, I can't thank you enough for what your messages have done for me. And I'm going, okay, I'm an internal rewards kind of guy, you know.
Yes.
What did I say? What happened? And I said, you know, can you share more in email? So she sends me an email that just absolutely brought me to tears and just really, you know, really changed my focus. She said that she was contemplating taking her life. She's got a debilitating disease that was really getting the best of her. And one of the messages that I put out, I started doing this a couple years ago, starting to send, put out just for today affirmations.
I've seen a few of those. Yes.
And one of those messages came to her at a time where she was contemplating taking her life, and something resonated with her to be able to say, no, I'm going to work with this. I'm going to try to get myself better. I'm going to work with other people who are going through the same thing. So this is where I look at, you never underestimate the power of a single tweet, because I was fortunate to be able to hear that story and be able to know that. And that's more motivation for me to be able to make sure that I am inspiring people every day, because you just never know who that message is going to touch.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Cause that's a very, it takes me sort of to a couple of different places. One, why do you think so many people in the world today need this sort of motivation, this inspiration, and to know that they're not alone? And it also brings up another thing that just happened more recently, which was with Robin Williams and his suicide, because he seemed to be giving a lot to the world. So you can take this whichever way you want to go first, but I think that there is a correlation between the two.
Right. And there's probably a number of ways. You know, we don't know what's really going on inside everybody's head. And I really think that there's much more going on than people realize. You know, for me to be able to relate in some way, you know, with Robin, and again, it's just projection.
Yeah.
I went through, and I'm sure probably a lot of other people do the same thing. It's kind of the tears of a clown syndrome. We put on a face because we want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to entertain. And we realize that we have these gifts to be able to share. But there's something other that's going on that's unfulfilled. There's unfulfilled emotional needs that are going on. And it just, for some reason, people aren't willing to be able to get in. you know, and I've used this before, and it's been the topic of conversation in our house in a couple different ways. The scene in What Dreams May Come is mm-hmm. when Chris travels through hell to be able to go find his wife, and how they, you know, went there to be able to work with each other, to be able to help and understand and be able to grow out and to be able then be able to have the technicolor life. What I really think happens is there is a need. We all have a primal need to be validated, heard, understood, and loved. I don't think our society works on being able to understand that. I don't think that we're taught to be able to realize that if somebody's hurt, somebody's angry, that that's okay. We're not taught to be able to look at how can we better understand them? How can we make it safe for them so they wouldn't become as angry? And to go through those things. And, you know, and I really think that, you know, there's just a lot of things in there. We're not being taught. It's not acceptable to be able to look at that. You know, we just hear domestic violence bad. And it is. But what's the cause of the domestic violence is probably there's some hurt. You know, there's an unfulfilled hurt. There's a pain. There's an inability to be able to communicate. There's probably a lifetime thing of not being heard, not being understood, not learning how to be able to deal or cope or have a safe place to go through that. And then so if they continually not feel heard, that rage builds up. Whether or not they're hitting their spouse or they're hitting somebody else or going into bar fights, whatever thing else, I really think it's coming down to not being heard, not having a safe place, and the rest of people, you know, either being afraid of the loudness, the scary part of it, and how to be able to shift it. You know, and I think, you know, we also run into problems, and I know we're giving a lot, but, you know, I just want to mm-hmm. we get, but.
Well, I'm going to have you back, just so you know.
but even being able to look at some of the things, some of the expectations is, you know, we watch some of the news stories, you know, the situation in Missouri or a missing plane or everything else. It's, you know, What really strikes me a lot is like, oh, well, parents should never bury their children and all of these other things. And, you know, there's a part of me that I feel that we need to be teaching people that loss and people exiting our lives in one way or another is a normal part of life. You probably look at insurance and insurance industry and you'll have actuators who will tell you, yeah, hey, there's X number of children who are going to die before 15 years old. There's X number of people who are going to, you know, and who are going to die in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s from all of these different causes. You know, so it surprises me that so many people are so surprised and I know it hurts, but how do you get lost for so long and going through there? And then, you know, and we see in some of these situations where, you know, now you got a whole community that's upset over something that they don't fully know what all the deal was. And I think, you know, if we just learn to be able to understand and be able to accept that, you know, things happen like this and we just need to learn to adjust. And I believe, you know, with the energy work, that our souls are brought in and we need to be able to, you know, we're here to be able to teach lessons. And in teaching those lessons, it's not only for our own soul growth, it's for the other people that we have contracts with that we're sharing our lives with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that soul can be able to share that message within a couple years. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer. Sometimes it takes the prominence of Robin to be able to look at and have a conversation about mental health and to be able to look at the strains and to be able to look at depression or the addictions and also, you know, the and a new diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So what are all of those things and that compounding, what's going on there? So, you know, does that reach a tipping point? You know, I'm never going to advocate the taking of their lives. I just feel that no matter what's going on, you got to be able to find a way through it because you can serve other people through that story.
So when people are, because I know it's impacted and I've been in, I'm a mental health consumer too. I've got anxiety disorder, depression. I have a nice little package in that department as well. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'm not afraid to share it. But there's a lot of us, there's a lot, and you sort of spoke to it, where we're not conditioned to say it's okay to talk about that stuff. So we end up internalizing these thoughts that we're not good enough. Mm-hmm. So how can our listeners who are just sort of coming to this realization that they want something different in their life, how can they move through those thoughts that they are not good enough or that we're not good enough?
Well, probably the first thing to do is you got to change your world. And be able to look at is get rid of the people in your life who aren't supporting you or pulling you down. You know, the dream stealers is, you know, if you go to a family function and especially for, you know, like people, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to be able to live your life as a, you know, as an artist, a musician, a business person or anything else, you go home for the holidays and there's somebody who's going to be able to say something that's go, well, how's the business? How much money are you making? All of this other stuff. And then you start getting into a discussion and they just take all the air out of your balloon.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can relate to that situation.
So I think what you got to be able to look at is you have to be able to protect your dream. You can't share your dream with somebody else who you know is going to be is there who can't support it, who can't see it, who doesn't have a dream of their own, is like, okay, you know, talk about the weather, talk about politics, talk about sex, talk about war. Everything is safer than talking about your dream.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
So, you know, talk about kids. There's so many other things that you could be able to do. You know, the annoying people we all have them at times who will call you and just zap your energy because they're just going to call and complain and all this other stuff. You know, I teach people to be able to put DNA in their phones.
Oh, tell us about that. Can you?
Sure. Well,
briefly,
just say that Debbie is somebody who's just kind of sucks the energy out of you. And every time that you talk to her, she just, you know, messes up your day, takes you off track. You can't get back to where you're going because you just got to hear about all the drama in her life.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to protect yourself. So what you're going to do is go into the contact part of your phone, look up Debbie's number, edit it. Then in front of Debbie's first name, you put the letters, capital letters, DNA.
Oh.
Which stands for do not answer.
All right. Do not answer.
She's going to leave a message, and you can choose when to listen to the message. You can choose whether or not you're going to respond to her, knowing that she's going to possibly take you off course. Now, it's happened with me. I've done it several times, is that when I stopped paying instant attention to these people and sometimes total attention to them, they found another outlet for that. They were no longer coming to me.
Well, you know, this is really because I was just having a conversation with one of my colleagues about this type of thing. And it's true. Like if there's someone that is sort of in your life and they're not supporting your dreams and they're not really bringing that empowering like mindset and they're just trying to pop the balloon, as you said, it's okay to say no to them. That's one of our fundamental rights as a human being is to pick and choose who we have in our life.
Exactly.
See, so, but when you said DNA, put DNA into your phone, I was thinking like you were going to infuse some sort of energetic feeling to love this person unconditionally. I like this. It's so much more simpler. It's a lot clearer.
Well, and one of the other things that you can be able to do, and this is where like Twitter is so great, is you can go find people who are sharing positive messages. You can find people who are having conversations about you what you want to be able to learn about and how you want to be able to grow. You can change your associations. You can find mentors and coaches, and you can probably do that virtually for free just by following them and watching their stuff. You can get plugged into that. And I know there's a lot of people who are doing that with me and a lot of other coaches and speakers. But you can take it to the next level if you're able to invest. But until you can invest, you start upgrading your associations. Pick out mentors. Pick out positive people. And you can find that on Twitter. And what's great about that, Twitter over any of the other social media sites, it's wide open. You can follow people, and they're not obligated to follow you back.
No.
Deepak and Tony and Louise and Abraham Hicks and all of those, they're not going to follow you back. But you can follow and see what they have to be able to say and still be able to tap into their energy and their message. So you can upgrade your associations on Twitter, get in that better conversation. You can start asking them questions. You know, it's really amazing at the accessibility of all of those people. I've had conversations with Deepak, Neil Donald Walsh, T. Harv Eckert, Richard Bach, and who else? Kelly LeBrock from The Woman in Red and some, you know, a lot of the other
movies.
You know, so I've had conversations with them, and actually they initiated the conversations based on something that I tweeted. Now, Richard Bach was correcting a quote that I put out.
But he got his attention nonetheless.
But it got his attention. But just being able to look at it, and I really think that, you know, accessibility to coaches and mentors through Twitter and to some extent Facebook is a tremendous way to be able to start plugging in to a better energy so you can be able to shift away from the people that you would list as DNAs.
Okay. So that brings me to the five love languages. How do you use, what are the five love languages, and then how do you put that into 140 characters on Twitter?
Well, the five love languages, and I didn't, I'm just looking for the book to make sure that I have them. There it is. Five Love Languages, a book by Gary Chapman. And I sort of came across this after my first coach taught me a very, very powerful story. One day, his wife called him up and said, you know, meet me downtown. And he goes, well, why? Let's just meet me downtown at 2 o'clock. Just not telling them why. So he goes, meets her on the corner. Says, well, why? What's going on? Why are we here? Just come with me. They get into the building, go into the elevator. He's still looking quizzical. He doesn't know. They get out of the elevator. They're at a marriage counselor.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's going, what? What? And she's still not saying anything until they get into the office. And then the counselor goes, okay, well, why are we here? And she goes, well, he doesn't love me. And he goes, what do you mean I don't love you? I hug you all the time. And she goes, you never say the words. And I think what was so valuable in that is that everybody experiences love differently. Everybody's motivated, but everybody's motivated differently. And learning how your partner, your family, your customers, how they feel loved and being able to provide them in a platinum rule, where the golden rule is do unto others as you have had do unto them.
Mm-hmm.
I got pretty high expectations of myself. So if I did unto others what I would be able to do, that's going to be a lot of times it's beyond what they're thinking. So if we can love them the way that they want to be able to be loved. Now, in Gary Chapman's book, he identified these five love languages, and everybody has a primary love language, and there may be two, but they're all motivated by one of these five things. It's either words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, or physical touch.
Mm.
So if we look at our partners, you know, there's one way or another, you know, Carol is, you know, it's acts of service. So to be able to do the dishes or help out with stuff around the house and do some of those things. And then next for her are the words.
And it was the words of?
Words of affirmation.
Affirmation. Okay.
You know, thank you. I appreciate that. You look nice. All of those. You know, for me, words of affirmation, quality time are top. That's how, you know, that's the fastest way. You know, if you try to be able to gift me, it's nice, but it doesn't mean anything if we don't have the words and if we don't have the time.
Right.
So understanding what you can do. And for a lot of people, if you're dating, you can do that. You know, what was your best relationship? What are some of the best aspects of that? Or how have you felt loved before? So you can do that just in a conversation. Or Gary Chapman's got a website, and it's the number 5lovelanguages.com. And you can take a personal assessment test where you can be able to find out what your primary love languages are. And you can get your partner to be able to take the test and be able to shortcut it. So you can be able to start figuring out how people feel loved.
Mm. And that would really reduce the amount of rejection that people feel in relationships and in their relationships, mm-hmm. period, right? If you know your work. So, yeah.
Oh, and just imagine that too. And
that's fairly straightforward.
Because I believe there's the same rules apply in our personal life and our business life. So look at your business and your customers. So you think that your customers are complaining about something, but even if your spouse is complaining, if you can be able to not take it personally and be able to look at the fact that they're telling you how they want to be loved, they're telling you how they want to be able to be serviced, they're telling you what products and attention that they need to be able to have. So if we can look at complaints as being a gift, and in business, if we're looking at it, and, you know, they say that, you know, for you to be able to hear one complaint, you have to be able to envision that is like the probably rodents and insects that may be living in the walls of your house. If you see one, there's probably thousands.
Yes.
So if one person is complaining to you, there's probably more people who are feeling that way who don't have it in their nature to be able to voice that concern. So look at them as this is a way that they're all expressing ways that they want to be able to feel loved, and we can be able to have a loving relationship with our customers as well as our partners and our families by applying these love languages and figuring out what they're doing, what problem, what service that we're addressing for our clients and being able to help them have a better life.
Yeah. And so I want to clarify that love does not equate an intimate connection with someone. Because that kind of, some people are like, love language, oh, how am I going to apply that to business? Because I have no desire to go there with them.
Well, you know, we don't have the physical romantic, but we can have a respectful, mutual love and admiration for our customers the same way that we want them to be able to love us and to be able to keep investing in whatever we're offering to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think in that case, because of, like when I was in the corporate, I was there for 23 years, I reflecting upon it, words of affirmation got me a lot further in my business than if I didn't say thank you or if I didn't do any acts of service to help them out. So it's interesting. Take a look at your life right now and ask yourself, where are you doing these things and who are you doing them for? And how is that working for you?
There was another book that I think that's been very valuable for us and touches along with this too, is by Tamara Lowe, L-O-W-E. It was called Get Motivation. And in this book, she has a test, and I believe it's also online, that you can be able to identify your emotional DNA. Everybody's got a different approach to drives, needs, and awards. You know, just for time-wise, you know, just dealing that with awards. Like I mentioned before about my massage experience, and I'm in internal rewards. I wanted that validation. I wanted that connection. So for me to be able to be in a position and say, oh, well, here's $1,000 prize, you know, I may walk across the street for $1,000 to do something, but I'm not really going to drive and push to be able to do something strictly for a financial gain. For me to be able to have that internal rewards, that acceptance, that validation, that announcement that I've done something, that drives me more than anything else. And to be able to know these things about yourself and know these things about your partner, know these things about your customers. And in these books, you can be able to find out, and if you study it, it's not going to be a whole thing where, you know, your customer's going to walk in and you're not going to have to do an assessment test. You're going to be able to pick up little things, their languages, their body language, their context, the way that they present themselves will pretty much tell you some of the things that you need to be able to do. And that's how those conversations we got in the bar where I can go a lot deeper. Is you just get to have that third level listening where you can be able to make those connections. And I think that the five love languages by Gary Chapman, Tamara's book, and also another valuable book is Getting the Love That You Want by Harvell Hendricks. Those are so primary tools to be able to help you understand who you are and how you can be able to help heal yourself and to be able then also be able to help other people be able to love you better.
It makes sense when you lay it out this way. And yet in the moment when you're trying to figure it out, it sounds so complicated. So it does.
That's the premise behind the Just for Today.
Right.
Is we look at these big hairy problems that we've got and the
like
situations
that.
And they're mountains. You know, it's, you know, there's the metaphor. How do you eat an elephant? And we're not advocating the eating of elephants.
No, not at all.
But how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time. And so this was one of the things that I picked up from my Reiki training. Part of our Reiki affirmations was just for today, I'm this, just for today. And I looked at it and said, wow, these are great because our goal for what we want to be able to do is to be able to do something every day. But to be able to learn how to be able to give love when we haven't experienced it, how to be able to be present, to be able to recognize our gifts when we hadn't had all these things. If we can start doing that just for today, I believe that, you know, I believe in my confidence. I believe in my gifts. I believe in my abilities just for today. And tomorrow is another today.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those will build upon each other. You know, Abraham Hicks talked about it in one of the books. They had the emotional ladder.
Yeah.
You know, you're down at depression, which is the lowest rung. And to be able to go to depression, to joy, I believe that they had 22 steps on that ladder.
Yes, I believe that.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in one step. Abraham talks about reach for a better feeling thought. So, and that's just for today. Just reach for a better feeling thought. Think about what you're doing. And this is actually another key thing. And I know we're, you know, I love this conversation because there's so much is pouring out, nothing that I wrote down. But
that's perfect. I'm doing my job.
is you're going to do these things just for today. You're going to have this mindset that you want to be able to be better and you want to be able to grow. But you're still going to have bad thoughts and things are still going to come in. So I've got an exercise to be able to show you. So what if you're listening, on a piece of paper, write down the word bad.
Okay.
Now take your pen and put the pen on the top of the letter B and start writing the word good right over the top of the word bad.
Okay.
Now retrace that, rewrite the word good 4, 5, 6 times.
Okay. 4, 5, 6. Okay.
Do you see the word bad there anymore?
Not at all. Nope.
Okay. So what that shows us is that we can flood a bad thought with like 6 good thoughts. And we can be able to push that bad thought away where it's not visible. So when you catch yourself in a bad thought, in a blue spot, even dark spots, is reach for that better feeling thought, plug into Twitter, jump into my stream, at Gary Loper, and plug into some good messages. Reach for that better feeling thought. You know, find a lot of other people on Twitter who share positive messages. And just flood yourself with that so you can be able to shift and then get back on track. Does that make sense?
It always makes sense when I go speechless. So it's good. So one thing about this particular is when I really get it, I don't have anything else to say. So yes, it makes total sense, Gary. I have a question. Gary, okay. What is your actual... Because I noticed on Twitter you have 2 handles. One is Gary Loper and then one has a dash or something.
Right.
Which one do people want to find you at?
My primary account is at Gary Loper.
Okay, perfect.
The underscore is my backup account, and that's actually a lighter version. So I don't post as many messages. It's still great messages. It's much more automated, but I'm more engaged with the at Gary Loper.
Okay, cool. Just checking. What is your thought for today? Just for today, thought affirmation.
Oh, there's so many, but I know that one of my favorite things was a quote by Jim Rohn that really was a shift for me both in Twitter and life. It said, "Be so busy giving recognition that you won't need it." And you can change that word recognition to whatever it is that you're feeling, like we talked about, to love, to respect, whatever else. So if you're so busy giving it, if you give without expecting it back, like we talked about, you're going to get so much more back. So it really starts from a giving place first in your personal relationships. But if you're on business, you want to be able to come from service and help people solve their problems. And that's just an amazing thing to be able to do. If you come from that service, come from heart, you know, success will find you.
Yeah. So that leads me to the last question before we wrap up. Knowing that and having said all that, how important is it to maintaining a positive mindset to reach our goals, whether they're personal or professional?
I think it's absolutely vital because our minds will attract whatever we think about. You know, and just quick way to be able to show you this is, you know, your mind does not differentiate between negative and positive. To be able to prove this to you, look around the room that you're in and notice everything, but don't notice the color red.
That's all I see now. Sir, I got it. Yeah.
So you cannot not think about something. So knowing just a little bit about how your mind works that way, that whatever your most dominant thought is, you're going to attract So what is it that you want to be able to have? You know, I talked with a woman who said, you know, I want to meet somebody, but everybody I'm meeting, all they want to do is watch TV. I don't want anybody who watches TV. And I go, what do you want them to do? Oh, we want to go to theater. We want to walk. And it says, well, then start talking about that. I want to meet somebody who does these things. And then you meet those people. And so it's, you know, really focus on what you want, not what you don't want. You can use what you don't want as a preliminary. It's okay. Well, you know, I don't want this. I don't want that. All right. But then write down the opposite of that. And then your own personal affirmations are the positive switch on the things that you found that you didn't want. You know, this is how I developed my list that I put on dating sites where I met Carol. Is I had a lot of practice dates and a lot of relationships and a couple marriages before that. So I learned all of these things that were not acceptable to be in a relationship. But I didn't find somebody that I wanted to marry and spend my life with until I'd be able to turn those into positive qualities. And then I made that my affirmation. So I think that's what, you know, we need to be able to do is use those experiences and be able to say, okay, I don't want this any much longer. So what it is, this has served me to be able to identify that I really want this positive thing and then focus on those positive things.
Mm. Okay. So I have one more question.
Okay.
And you kind of maybe you want to use this. Can you share a time when you stepped out of that, negative mindset and in or self-doubt and then into self-confidence or positive mindset?
For me, it is an everyday thing. There are still times that I go through there. I still have doubts. I'm still scared of things. I know that there's a little boy part of me that still wants my parents' approval, but I know that it's not going to happen the way that I want it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those things that I just realize every single day that it just keeps growing. And I look for things that I can succeed in. I can look for other ways to be able to get some of the validation, some of the connection that I want to be able to have. And that's why I've determined to be able to come from service and be able to speak from my heart and be able to share all my experiences this way, because I know that other people are going through the same type of thing. And if I can show them that there's a light, that if I can be able to do that and can get through the crap that I've gone through, that we maybe together, we can walk you out of it.
Hmm. So inspiring, so powerful. Like a lot of what you're saying today has been, it's talking about that grace and that tenacity, right? So how do you change it? Just change your world. How many steps are there involved in that, right? But
you have to be able to make identification. It's like the 12-step program. It's the first thing you have to admit that there's a problem.
Exactly.
And wanting to be able to have a different outcome. So you can be able to be stuck in injuries and illnesses, diseases, and loss, and all these other things. And I know we're bumping up on time, so we'll
I know. We're going to have you back. We got a lot more to talk about. But what you're saying is when you want, you have to be willing to, that's really what it comes down to, is you have to be willing to acknowledge it. You have to be willing to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with being willing.
You got to be able to look at it. You got to be, look at yourself and say, okay, I'm here. You know, like when I was on the couch, like I was there and Carol didn't know how to be able to get me out. She hadn't experienced that. She didn't deal with it. So she didn't know how to be able to do it. So she wasn't able to help me the way that I needed to. So, you know, I needed to get myself up. You know, now Carol is going through some situations where she's got a diagnosis of myasthenia gravis. And that's, you know, there are a lot of days where it's kicking her butt. And she's kind of in the dumps on some things. So we're continually going through that. And, it's where we're coming from this experience with this is a couple different ways is you got to reach for it and you got to be able to get to the point. It's okay, I'm at the bottom. or this is the dark night of my soul. And, you know, you got to know the darkness and say, okay, all right, this is enough. I got to be able to choose to be able to do something else. And until you choose to be able to do something else, no matter who's there, no matter how much they love you, how much they care about you, if you're not willing to be able to show up and be able to say, okay, this is my bottom. I got to do something to get out of here. Unless you recognize that and willing to do it, you're going to stay there and probably spiral down. But realize that there are people out there. And I think that's one of the things in tying into Robin and a lot of the other things is if we can build this acceptance and if we can realize that there are other people whose mission is to be able to help us accomplish our missions and to be able to help us live a better life, that if we reach out and, you know, post something on Twitter, post a question on Twitter, look for people having conversations about the condition that you're going through or the situation, you know, hashtags or a lot of other stuff, a lot of ways that you can use searches on Twitter to be able to find those conversations. And somebody's going to chime in with an answer that's going to be helpful.
Mm. Absolutely love it. I love it, Gary. I'm so grateful that you're on the show today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Gary Ann.
Okay, besides Twitter, where else can people find you?
Probably the best place, my website, GaryLoper.com. GaryLoper.com.
Gary with one R then, right?
One R. And if they're interested, in the center column of my website, you know, read the blogs and everything else. But I have 3 ebooks that are all designed to be able to help you build better relationships in different areas of your life. My Twitter ebook there has helped you to be able to build your presence on Twitter and understand Twitter. We have a 37 keys in networking, better networking relationships, and then also 20 secrets to building better love relationships. So stop by, visit. If any of those ebooks resonate with you, get one, get them all, and see how we can be able to stay connected, how I might be able to serve you, and stop by Twitter at Gary Loper and say hello.
All right. Oh, Gary, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much. If you got 2 more minutes, just hang out while I wrap up the show, and then we'll connect in the green room after the show has aired.
Excellent.
And the sharing.
Thank you.
Happy tweeting. Thank you. Hey, everyone. I'm, you know, as always at the end of the calls, I'm just always amazed at some of the amazing things that our speakers and our guests have to share. Gary is no exception. He has really helped us understand that with a little bit of grace, a little bit of gratitude, and a lot of tenacity to take care of yourself and change your world, you can do it. It's all about moving forward and expanding your thoughts, thinking outside of the box. How can I take care of myself? How can I take care of others? The topic on love language was amazing. And I really encourage each one of you to see how you're applying the love languages to your life. And I encourage you to start going to Twitter a little bit more and follow myself at my Twitter handle is at Carrie Ann Barron. Follow Gary at Gary Loper. Follow Bold Radio Station. Tenacious Living on Facebook. We will support you in helping you make those first steps at bringing a better life to your reality. It is possible. Wishing, waiting, hoping. You don't have to wish, wait, and hope. You can do it. Be tenacious. Keep twittering, as Gary would say. Be tenacious and just really have a great day. I'll see you all next week. Keep in touch. Take care. Bye.
Are you interested in appearing on Tenacious Living Radio Show? Do you have a tenacious spirit and transformational story to share? Carrie Ann wants to hear from you. Contact her at www.tenaciousliving.org. We'll see you next week, same day and time.